website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Be talking about something today that perhaps you've already heard, perhaps you haven't. It's not hit the mainstream, lamestream Communist Network news, basically, to this point. But perhaps you heard the gift from a judge to America for July the 4th celebration. A judge issued about a 230-page document, basically chiding Joe Biden, the entire Biden administration, and forbidding them and their continuation of censoring free speech in America. So my question is today, are we seeing a glimmer of hope? Censorship canceled. Now, that's the preliminary injunction that's been rendered. The Biden administration still has the privilege and the opportunity legally to challenge that rendering and bring it out in full hearing, full trial. But my most humble opinion, they will not. It will make their case a whole lot worse if there's further discovery as to what the Biden administration has been doing. We'll be talking about that on this broadcast today. We look forward to you joining in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will go directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on this issue. Do you see a glimmer of hope in relationship to that happening? Ladies and gentlemen, we just celebrated Independence Day, our 247th birthday. Our great nation's history is founded on our founding fathers' faith. The foundation is based on morals and ethics and biblical values. But we've been watching, especially in the past 3 years under the Biden administration, we've been watching the evisceration, the disintegration, the dismantling of our Bill of Rights. We've had recent rulings. We'll talk about some of those in this broadcast today, but probably the most surprising one to me, and yet the greatest relief that I see, is based on the recent one where the judge on yesterday made the decision that this could no longer be taking place with the Biden administration. The word "this" simply referring to their censorship of your free speech and mine. Ladies and gentlemen, if we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. In fact, in Scripture, it is very, very clear that the Scripture tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We're living in that day today where there is a great mourning, in my most humble opinion, because the wicked are in charge, entrenched in charge. In fact, this is the reason President Donald J. Trump has made a commitment that if he's reelected to office as the 47th president, that he will clean the sewer, not just the swamp, will dismantle all of this that's taking place today that's countering Christian values, conservative values, free speech, by way of controlling social media. That's what the Biden administration's been doing. It's what the judge in his recent ruling just discovered and made the information public. So let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus made a statement in John 14:6. He says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so may I recommend the truth of the Lord, because it doesn't come today and gone tomorrow. It's not modulated, should not be modulated by different thoughts, philosophies, and feelings. It should not be modulated based on denominational dogma or by some philosophical rhetoric born out of a political process. We are in a society where truth is attacked, truth is maligned, truth is undermined and hated. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I find it to be very, very true today that we're finding ourselves at the very time and point that the dystopian novelist George Orwell said in his book entitled 1984. When he made that statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're at that era today. We're at the position today where if you speak the truth, you're rejected. And this is the reason, by the way, listen very carefully. That is the underpinning foundational reason that the Biden administration, for 3 years now, been centering and controlling our free speech. Our Bill of Rights, the First Amendment in particular, has been eviscerated under the Biden administration. And this recent decision by a judge, a federal judge, that says that the Biden administration can no longer, and we'll get into it in depth in this broadcast today, can no longer have communication, contact, interaction with social media, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have discovered in the preliminary findings in the court case that the Biden administration and multitudes in his administration, including Joe Biden, they have together, jointly, colluded to control and censor our free speech. Now, we'll talk about that because I think most everyone under the sound of my voice, you've been put in Facebook jail. You been put in Twitter shame because of saying things that's true. I'm praying that era, that day, is over because of the salvo that's just been fired from the judge's pen in relationship to that fact. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my recommendation each and every day on this broadcast. We need to be willing to seek the truth. You'll not find that on the Communist Network News. Listen to the truth. You'll not find that on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You find truth in the Word of God. And whether it's dealing with the political arena, civil government, the home, the family, the church, whether it's talking about something theologically, doctrinally, biblically, or politically, as we would call it, it's all found in the confines of the Word of God. God's Word has already spoken to all of these issues in advance of them taking place in our nation and around the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of 5295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark to assist you in finding Tools for Time. 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our question today, which I believe is a real issue that we need to grasp, analyze, and ascertain, what does it mean to us as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? I'm vitally concerned and have been since the Biden administration took the power and the controls in the Oval Office as president. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been watching the evisceration of our First Amendment rights. We've been watching them dissipate. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And it goes further. But the point is, the First Amendment protects our religious liberties. The First Amendment protects our freedom of speech. And we've been watching some of the things taking place in the past several weeks in particular. Let me just read you one. Michigan House passes a bill that can make using wrong pronouns a felony, fineable up to $10,000. Under the new bill, intimidating an individual in regards to their gender identity can result in prison time of $10,000. A recently passed bill in Michigan could make it a felony to intimidate someone by intentionally using, now how are you going to determine whether it's intentional or otherwise, intentionally using the wrong gender pronoun, according to some legal experts. Michigan House of Representatives has passed the bill, HB 4474, a piece of legislation that criminalizes free speech, criminalizes an individual if the person feels that they are threatened by your words. Under the new bill, offenders are guilty of felony punishable by imprisonment for more than 5 years, no more than 5 years, and fines not more than $10,000 per event. The bill specifically addresses sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression as a political or protected class, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching with things like that, state after state after state, different agencies, different governmental bureaucrats making determination on what we can say and what we can't say. Now, ladies and gentlemen, many of these cases are still working their way through the courts to ascertain whether or not these governors, these mayors, and the president have the constitutional authority to do what they're doing. The Biden administration, under Joe Biden's leadership, he's been ruling as an oligarch with fiat ruling, with simply giving executive orders. I believe the last count I had was 114, could be far more that I know of. Executive orders, ignoring the laws, ignoring what the Constitution says, ignoring our Bill of Rights. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned from the Christian perspective, if we have no Bill of Rights, that means we have no religious liberties. And if there's no religious liberties, the one sitting in the Oval Office, present or future tense, could simply say, no church. They locked us down, locked the churches down, not ours, locked the churches down during COVID, year and a half, almost 2 years. Houses of prostitution could stay open. Liquor stores could stay open. Big box stores could stay open. But it's very dangerous for churches to stay open. Churches may spread COVID, was the mindset. And ladies and gentlemen, for over 2 years, going into three, the Biden administration took the position that if you talk about any of those things that countered the official position in the Biden administration, then it was disinformation, misinformation, and we were becoming terrorists in a free state, in a nation that gives us the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we've watched that take place over and over and over. Here's an article. UN expert demands religious beliefs bend to the LGBTQ ideology. A new report from an expert who serves the United Nations as its advisor on sexual orientation has come out with a recent report expressing the idea, listen to this, that religious freedom is in fact not incompatible with the LGBTQ ideology. However, a recent report explains that the comparability comes from when a faith standard is to be subservient to the sexual political agenda embraced by the LGBTQ organizations. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's a 5-page article. Very succinctly, it says this: the religious communities must reinterpret their own doctrine to meet the preferences of the LGBTQ community. Now, we see those things taking place, and you ask, well, how does that fit legally? How does it fit constitutionally? Ladies and gentlemen, it destroys our Bill of Rights. It destroys the religious liberty and the freedom of speech. And yet we've seen this on a rampant basis in the Biden administration. It's been like being on a jumbo 777, full steam ahead, but no one at the controls. That's what we've seen taking place with the evisceration, the dismantling of our Bill of Rights. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11:3 reminds us. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned, and I pray that you are. My question is today, are we seeing a glimmer of hope with censorship being canceled? Looking at another headline, the party that calls censorship is lying. November, the columnist Dennis Prager wrote a piece in which he received a question from a confused man in his 20s. The young man asked how he was supposed to figure out who's telling the truth and who isn't, end quote. He was undoubtedly speaking for millions of his peers, wrote Dennis Prager. Given the opposition position on encounters on almost every issue, how is one supposed to know or figure out which position is really right, which one not only to be wrong, but which one is lying? Further, the article states, offered what may be the single most important indicator of who is more likely trying to lie. The recommendation Prager gave to determine who's telling the truth is profound. Are you ready? Listen, here it is. The party that calls for censorship is the party that is lying, end quote. Now that goes to the fundamental foundation of our discussion today. The fundamental foundation of our discussion today is where a federal judge, and I'll read all of the documents for that in just a moment, where a federal judge ruled that the Biden administration has, in fact, attempted to censor our First Amendment right, the freedom of speech. And my take on it, ladies and gentlemen, he's been very successful. He, speaking of Joe Biden, been very successful in doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, this further states with Dennis Prager, the recommendation Prager gave to determine who's telling the truth is very profound. The party that calls for censorship is the party that is lying. And he goes further saying, with a rare exception, the party that calls for censorship is the one that's lying. People who tell the truth can deal with dissent and different opinions. In fact, truth tellers welcome all debate. If this theory is correct, and I can't imagine a valid argument against it, it means that in virtually every instance of the left-right differences, the left is the party that's lying. Now that sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for my serious discussion today, because I know the headline leads to it. The Biden administration, Joe Biden, has declared war on conservative Christians. The Democrats want a fundamental transformation of America. They want to purge Christians from public life and abolish religious freedom as we know it today. In one of the darkest moments of his abysmal presidency, Joe Biden made it clearer than ever. The Democratic Party is coming for the Christians and anyone else who contradicts the left's radical abortion and LGBTQ agenda. In a primetime speech at the Philadelphia Independence Hall, Joe Biden doubled down on Democrats' latest attack line, declaring his political opponents are intolerable threats to America. Ladies and gentlemen, the modus operandi that's being used by the Biden administration is to paint the picture that if you tell the truth, if you stand for truth, if you as a parent go before the school board and challenge the sodomite agenda being taught to your child, if you question the 2020 and the 2022 veracity of the election, if you question whether or not masks are valid and 6-foot distancing is valid scientifically, or if the prototype protocol used by the CDC, if it is warranted, where they have murdered millions of people in America under the guise of COVID. But ladies and gentlemen, we the people have been forbidden, shut out of the discussion. I will receive probably 100, 150, sometimes more emails a day. As I call it, zap about 50% of them immediately. I read several of them. Multitudes of them, I decide to send them to friends and family and others that would be interested. I found that about 8 out of 10 of those that I attempt to forward are canceled, censored, blocked. Do not go, they're not allowed to go through. That's censorship, ladies and gentlemen. And it's because the Biden administration has declared war on the Christians, on the conservatives, and on patriots in America. The Biden administration has been attempting to interfere with the past elections successfully, I might add, and they're attempting today to set up a plan and a program to steal the 2024 election. I know you're not supposed to say that, because censorship says that that's disinformation or misinformation. Headline, the DOJ is hiding information about Biden's attempt to interfere in the 2024 election. The Department of Justice is slow-walking the response to a federal court order mandating that the agency forfeit records pertaining to President Joe Biden's executive order that directed federal agencies to develop a plan for federal interference in the state elections administration. And it goes on to talk about what is happening with that. It was executive order 1409, 14019, that's 14019, which required all federal departments to consider ways to expand all citizens' opportunities to register to vote and to obtain information about and to participate in the electoral process. Ladies and gentlemen, every illegal that's come across the border in the 3 years that Joe Biden's been in the Oval Office, every one of those, listen to me very carefully, each and every one, by November 2024 will be voters in the 2024 election. That's the plan. That's the approach. The Biden administration, through the DOJ, the Department of Justice, with Merrick Garland, that hates Christians, hates conservatives, hates patriots, hates Donald Trump, through the DOJ's regulatory process, they're allowing that to happen, and it is on the fast burner, if you will, to steal yet another election. Looking at a headline, Supreme Court bashes state's anti-Christian agenda. I'm leading up now to the crescendo of the latest ruling. We've had in the past 30 days several good renderings by the different courts, Supreme Court being one. Supreme Court bashes the state's anti-Christian agenda. Again, this article reads, U.S. Supreme Court on Friday slapped down the latest attack by the leftists in the state of Colorado on Christianity. It ruled that the state, under the guise of non-discrimination law, cannot force a graphic artist, a designer, to violate her Christian faith and promote same-sex marriages. The case involved Lori Smith for her 303 creative design work, which does graphic designs and creates websites. She wants to do websites for traditional weddings, but the state had demanded that if she did business in the state that type, she must promote same-sex weddings also, end quote. High Court said, not happening. The First Amendment protection belongs to all, not just to speakers whose motives to government find it worthy. In this case, Colorado seeks to force an individual to speak in the ways that align with its view but defy the woman, the lady, her conscience about a matter of major significance. The ruling said, listen to this. Consistent with the First Amendment, the nation's answer is tolerance, not coercion. The First Amendment envisions the United States as a rich and complex place where all persons are free to think, free to speak as they wish, not as the government controls or demands. In other words, no such thing as hate speech. No such thing as the government having the privilege and the power of censorship, where the government can decide what we can say and what we can't say. No American should be forced to speak in violation of their deeply held beliefs, according to the court's decision. It is a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court. And it says this, the ruling corrects a lower court's decision that failed to respect speech with political and religious significance. Four times now, the court recognized the distinct significance of free speech without coercion and without intimidation or control. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios right to our microphones so we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on this issue today. We're seeing a glimpse of hope. Censorship canceled. Censorship has been rampant in America, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know it or not. Don't know if you've recognized it. But the conservatives and the Christians and the patriots have somehow committed some crime. And as a result of that, the government has to censor it, filter it, and block it. Christian religious beliefs are under attack today. If you don't believe that, just go back. You may or may not have found it. But if you're on Instagram, if you're on Snapchat, if you're on Google, Yahoo, if you have done anything on Facebook or Twitter, the old Twitter in particular, you'll find that many times when you post something, now I'm not a Facebooker, my bride is, and she can post something on Facebook and it might show up on her account, but it doesn't go any further than that. Why is that so? Because it's being blocked. It's being censored. And now we have discovered the truth that, ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration, and multitudes within the administration, including the DOJ, the FBI, the CDC, the DHS, all have been involved in the collusion to coerce the big tech and the social media into saying things that they wanted to say and blocking things they did not want us to say. It is the control of the news. It goes back to the Ministry of Truth, as the secularist George Orwell called it, the Ministry of Truth. But it was called a misinformation, disinformation board. And supposedly that was dismantled. Ladies and gentlemen, it has not been dismantled. It's still in full force and still in full effect even today. We're finding those things taking place on a rampant basis, and we need to be concerned about it and recognize that it's taking place. Here's an article. Trump judge restricts Biden officials from working with social media to combat misinformation. We're going to go into great detail after the news with this, ladies and gentlemen. But this article says in the beginning of it, the Biden administration will be limited from contacting all social media companies about content after the ruling by the federal judge. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Be about 1 minute. Be right back right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Ukraine claims that Russian forces occupying the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant have placed what appear to be explosives in various locations around the massive plant. Ukraine and Russia have been accusing each other of plotting to attack Zaporizhzhia, one of the world's largest nuclear power plants. The U.S. Navy says Iran tried to seize two oil tankers near the strategic Strait of Hormuz, firing shots at one of them. It says that in both cases early today, the Iranian naval vessels backed away after the U.S. Navy approached. Israel has withdrawn its troops from a militant stronghold in the West Bank, but warns that its most intense military operation in the territory in almost two decades is not a one-and-done affair. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 125 points. The Nasdaq is up 15 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're not familiar with our First Amendment, let me read you the first major portion of that First Amendment. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. What does it mean to abridge it? It means to interfere with it. It means to, in some way, orchestrate a reduction in freedom of speech. Now, I'm for freedom of speech. There are a lot of speech that I hear, a lot of conversations I hear, a lot of things that goes on under the guise of free speech that I don't like. But I don't feel it is my responsibility to try to stop them. It is my responsibility to have that same freedom. And yet, in the Biden administration, there's been a sense that if we are conservatives, if we are Christians, if we are patriots, that they somehow have the right to use a backdoor, surreptitious, behind the scenes, illegal disinformation, misinformation, censorship program using big tech to do it. Now, what they've done, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, they've tried to circumvent the wording of our Bill of Rights in that First Amendment. That where it says, let me go back and read that, Congress shall make no laws respecting, et cetera, et cetera. So Congress is not doing this. It is the Biden administration that's using social media, big tech, and social media to censor what you say and what I say. I'm going to read a blurb from this article further, and then we'll have our caller on the line. The Republican Attorney General of Mississippi and Louisiana, along with four other plaintiffs, including a California professor who lost his job after refusing to be vaccinated for COVID-19, filed a lawsuit last year against President Joe Biden and a slew of governmental officials. The ruling by Judge Terry A. Daughtry for the Western District of Louisiana, who was nominated by President Trump in 2017, restricts the government from urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner the removal, the deletion, the suppression, or the reduction of any content containing protected free speech. Another headline, judge delivers a major blow to the Biden administration and social media censorship. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg is one of our four sons. Greg, I'm thankful you could take time out of a busy schedule to call in. What is your take on this latest ruling about the censorship by the Biden administration?
Well, you know, this censorship is part of an ongoing plan. It's an ongoing leftist Democrat plan. It's a fascist plan. It's a totalitarian plan. It's an authoritarian plan to control every element of your life. You know, if you fast forward, they want to have nothing but electric cars rolling off the assembly lines by the year 2030. During the COVID, Wu flu, China virus, 3 years, they used what they considered emergency powers to kind of suspend all these different provisions in the Constitution. You go, that Constitution is made for tough times as well as good times. The idea that they had that authority is absurd, but here's what they've learned. When they trounce your rights, it takes months, many times years, many times decades for the courts to finally rule that what they've done is horribly wrong. By then, people are bankrupted. By then, people are dead. Over and over and over, they're willing to trounce your rights. Not only do they wish to trounce your rights with your transportation, which we don't have it so clearly articulated, but with your freedom of religion, your freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, those are all dead. Those are all dead. When I say that they're dead, not only have you been censored so your speech has not been able to be gotten out, disseminated on boatloads of different forums, but also they intend to compel your speech. Not only will your speech be limited, we can mute you when we want to, but we can also stick our hand in your back and open our thumb and fingers inside your head and make you open and shut your mouth and say the words we want you to say. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. Does the government have the right to compel you to use certain language, certain verbiage, certain pronouns? That's where we're headed in the short term.
That's it. But Greg, I'm looking at further in this article. Let me read a few other paragraphs and get your take on it. I find it fascinating, intriguing, and if I were to say so, a glimmer of hope for the First Amendment and our Bill of Rights. A federal judge made an historic ruling by partially granting an injunction that blocks the various Biden administration officials and governmental agencies such as the Justice Department and the FBI from working with big tech firms to censor the post on social media. The injunction came in response to a censorship by proxy lawsuit brought by attorneys generals in Louisiana and Missouri who have accused the Biden administration officials of various governmental agencies of pressuring social media companies to suspend their accounts or to take down posts. Greg, have you had any, have you been put in Facebook jail? Have you had any Twitter accounts that's been canceled? Anything that you've communicated? Have you found that it's being censored? And how does that apply to what we see here? Further, ponder that, but let me read you this. The article says Judge Terry Daughtry of the U.S. District Court of the Western District of Louisiana wrote a July the 4th ruling that various governmental agencies, listen to this, including cybersecurity, intersurface structure agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Department, the United States Department, the Department of Justice, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are prohibited from taking a range of actions regarding social media companies. This article says shocking, appalling, and concerning, specifically to find that all of these agencies and their staff members have been working to censor free speech in America. They've done so by contacting the social media, by contacting them by phone, by email, by text messages, engaging in any communication of any kind with social media companies, urging, encouraging, or pressuring, or inducing them in any manner for the removal, for the deletion, for the suppression, or the reduction of content contained in the free speech per the injunction. Greg, is that good news? What are your thoughts as to where it's headed? This is a preliminary injunction. Now, the Biden administration can appeal it. Number one, do you believe they will appeal it? Number two, do you believe this is a right adjudication as to what is taking place, or when the socialist Marxist media, if they talk about it, they're going to say it's because it's a Trump-appointed judge. Give me your general thoughts about the legalities of this. Where do you think it's going in the realm of jurisprudence? Is this a good decision, or is it just a little token?
Well, this is a preliminary action on the part of the judge. You know, the final adjudication has not been rendered. However, it's a good step, and yes, the Biden administration will fight and kick and scream, you know, just as they are with the couple of few good decisions out of the Supreme Court as of late. You know, they're saying that the Supreme Court has erred horribly. You know, they see the Supreme Court as just another political body. It is just another vote to them. Understand that the adherence to the Constitution is not in any way a limiting factor for leftist Democrats. They have an agenda, and that agenda involves power and money. Of course, you know, I heard this said the other day, because you hear so many things that apparently Biden has taken money for, you know, taken bribes for. Somebody needs to offer him, you know, $10 or $15 million as a bribe. You know, we'll just slip it to you under the table. We'll send it to one of your kids, you know, LLCs or offshore accounts. You know, we'll send it to one of his shell corporations if you'll just secure our border, please, and follow Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. We'll slip this money under the table if you'll stop violating our rights left and right. You know, we'll pay you. What will it take to pay you? You know, that it was kind of comical to hear that said, but the reality is they're acting as complete authoritarians, and they're using these social media outlets. You asked about my punishments. I'll proudly say I've been punished either 57 or 59 times, and most of that has been in the past 2.5 years. There's a punishment page. You can go list of all the times you violated something with Facebook, and sometimes they just make your account disappear for a period of time. Other times we're moving your feed lower, you know, your post lower on people's feeds, which means you don't get any distribution, if you will. Many times you just realize there's nothing. It's like you don't exist. And those many times aren't even listed as punishments. But I did do a screenshot of that. Those 57 or 59 times I was punished where they admit I was being punished. I did a screenshot and tried to post that on Facebook so people would realize the conduct of Facebook. Now, it's bad enough for a private entity to do that, and it's supposed to be an open platform. It's not. You know, it's not. They're definitely censoring content, and that means it's not an open platform. That means the protection they have, as far as I'm concerned, under federal law should go away. They're no longer an open platform. They should be held liable. If they have censorship ability, they should be held liable for content on the page that does damage, does harm, is slanderous or libelous. They should be held liable for that. But to realize that that wasn't being done independently, that we had agencies of government using our tax dollars to squelch our communication. You need to shut this one down and shut this one. You know what makes it worse? Not just the fact they were using our money to fight against our First Amendment freedoms, our First Amendment rights. Not only were they doing that, they intend to continue doing that. They intend to completely mute conservatism and Christianity in America, and then force you to acknowledge, give assent to, rejoice with, celebrate their things like Pride Month, their things like the pronouns, their things like all these things that can undermine and destroy the country, they're absolutely okay with forcing you to be on board. This is a gulag type operation is what they're running. And they will, at the end of the day, they will use your money not only to fight you surreptitiously by shutting down your Facebook feeds and other social media feeds, but then when you drag them to court, they use your money to fight against you. How do you like that? That's as perverse as it could possibly be.
Greg, this article says the agencies, speaking of the federal agencies, DHS, CDC, et cetera, and for 3 years, if we go online and we say that the COVID vaccination is harmful, if you ask a question about the CDC's real scientific evidence, if you say something about the mask and they're irrelevant and no efficacy at all, then you are spreading disinformation. This article points out very clearly that the federal government had been using the disinformation, misinformation filter, flagging it, and then sending it to the different social media. It says the agencies are also barred from flagging any content on any post on any social media platform and forwarding them to the companies with a request for action such as removal, otherwise suppressing the free speech, encouraging or otherwise egging on social media companies to change their guidelines for the removal, suppression, or reduction of any content that contains protected free speech by the government also is not allowed. This writer says, this could be one of the most important First Amendment cases in modern history. Further, the writer states, if you look at the opinion that the judge lays out, he takes from our argument that this is basically one of the most massive undertakings of the federal government to limit Americans' free speech in all of U.S. history. The things that we uncovered in this case should be shocking, appalling, and concerning for every American. The Republican attorney generals who sued the Biden administration have produced evidence of a massive effort by the defendants from the White House to the federal agencies to suppress free speech based on the free speech content. The Biden administration pressuring big tech companies to engage in the censorship by proxy. Here's the key now. Opposition to COVID-19 vaccines. Opposition to COVID-19 masks. Opposition to lockdowns, opposition to the lab leak theory in COVID-19, opposition to the validity of the 2022 elections, opposition to President Biden's policies, statements that the Hunter Biden laptop story was true, opposition to policies of government officials in power, all were suppressed according to the judge in this case. And he goes on to name those. In particular, one of those named is Jean-Pierre, the press secretary for the president, along with the spokespeople for CDC, Mayorkas for the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, and Wray in the FBI. He names these agencies specifically and the people specifically that's been doing this. Now, my question is, Greg, do you think that this will cause this activity to cease and desist, or will they simply morph it and still carry it on in some fashion?
Anything that gets in the way of their agenda will intentionally be put down, regardless of what the Constitution says. They intend to move forward. I mean, keep in mind, just as soon as the court ruled on the illegality of the unconstitutional nature of the debt forgiveness. I mean, the president doesn't have the right to write off $1 trillion in debt. I mean, that's the expenditure of $1 trillion of what it is. As soon as that came out, he's looking at workarounds, very publicly scolding the court and looking at workarounds to do it some other way. When the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the Heller decision dealing with the personal right to keep and bear arms and struck down the D.C. gun ban, the very next Washington, D.C. city council meeting, I understand there was a city council member that proposed that they tweak the law and pass it again, and just thumbing their nose in the face of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, keep in mind, these folks were absolutely okay with the U.S. Supreme Court when it was a leftist bastion, when the Constitution meant nothing. It's kind of there's a relative calm. You know, they'll go back to burning and looting and tearing down statues and taking over city halls and police stations as soon as they think they're not getting their way. we may end up with another emergency, a national emergency. Maybe it won't be COVID. Maybe it'll be mosquitoes and malaria, or maybe it'll be a wartime scenario, or maybe it will be the climate crisis that we have. They intend to do whatever's necessary, operate by crisis, operate based on a fiat status rather than a constitutional status anytime that they see it advances their agenda. Keep in mind, they were willing to shut down credentialed physicians during this Wu flu garbage for 3 years, completely censor individuals that knew, if you will, the very most in their field, whether it was, you know, Dr. Robert Malone on the mRNA technology or Dr. Peter McCullough dealing with the way the heart functions and the way the actions that this vaccine might have upon the heart. Vladimir Zelenko, Kerry Mullis, Michael Yeadon, there's a list. I mean, you can literally just punch in censored doctors. By the way, you have to go to a forum like DuckDuckGo or something other than Google, because Google, they'll kind of bury that stuff. Understand, you have individuals in positions of substantial power, whether it's World Economic Forum or CEO of Google or Facebook, or all these governmental agencies. They will use the power of their office, the power of their business, to manipulate people. That's going on with BlackRock, you know, with the ESG, environmental, social, and governance scoring that they did. So the money didn't matter as much as the political agenda, because with political agenda, money will come. With the political agenda, when positions of power, when aristocrats are picked out, you know, when these oligarchs are picked out, they see themselves in positions of permanent power and permanent cash flow. That's what's mm-hmm. going on. They literally Right. do see this as a class struggle, and they intend to crush anyone that is not one of them.
That's exactly right. That means patriots, conservatives, and Christians. So I'm going to read you another paragraph very briefly. Then my question is, how should Christians respond? Should we be silent? Should we be fearful? Should we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen? This article says more than 50 official governmental agents and agencies and people in the Biden administration across dozens and dozens of agencies were involved in the effort to pressure big tech companies to censor all alleged misinformation, according to the document just released. It's like a cancer, this writer says. This violation of the First Amendment has seeded itself deep within all federal institutions, end quote. So the question is, number one and number two, do you see this to cease and desist as the federal judge has ordered? Or do you see it as continuing to be morphed, as you said a moment ago, into different stratagems and approaches? And then how should Christians respond to it? Should we rejoice in this? Should we look at it with a jaundiced eye? Should we be fearful and continue to allow our free speech, our text messages, email messages, et cetera, to be altered or to be blocked or censored in some fashion? It goes back to, and I enjoy quoting Ezekiel 33:10. Ezekiel said, how should we then live? How do you respond to that, Greg?
For earlier in that text in Ezekiel 33, we've got the call. We have a responsibility, I believe, based on that that text and others. You know, if we love our neighbor, we have a responsibility to warn our neighbor. And earlier in that text, you'll find that the warning is our responsibility. If you see the sword come, if you see the danger coming and you don't blow the trumpet, then the blood that is shed is on your hands because you didn't warn. So, you know, we see the blood coming, if you will, the threat coming on multiple fronts. The ultimate being, guess what? You know, death is sure. Death is sure. Everyone is going to pass through death's door one day, and there's an ultimate hell to pay for an absence of relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate warning that ought to go out. But all these other warnings, you know, I believe Jesus is coming back soon. But I also realize there's a potential that it could be 100 years. It could be 1,000 years. What will our silence do other than bring more harm, more damage, more destruction? We have a responsibility to be that salt and light and to engage. We have an articulated, clearly printed, clearly represented in that great Jeffersonian document, the Declaration of Independence, and in the Constitution of the United States, 1776, 1787, 1789. We see these dates in history. And in between those dates, there's a lot of bloodshed. Blood was required to be shed to purchase the freedom that we enjoy today. And if we ignore that, it will be to our peril and to our children's peril and our grandchildren's peril. We must engage, and we must engage constitutionally, rightly, biblically, in love, but we must engage. I would hate to think that another day is coming that bloodshed is required for us to once again secure our freedom. Don't tread on the blood that was shed for your freedom, not Jesus' blood and not the blood of the patriots that was laid down so that we could enjoy posterity. That entire revolution was fought for the sake of posterity. That's us. We have a responsibility to carry that mantle into the next generation with freedom and liberty ringing throughout the land. We have a responsibility as believers to share the truth and love. We have a responsibility to be salt and light, and salt and light cannot have any effectiveness unless it engages. If you take a light and you put it under a bushel in the scripture, you take a flashlight and shove it into a drawer and into a box, it's worthless. It has to come in contact. That salt won't do anything for the flavor of your food or the preservation of your meat unless it's put on the food or on the meat. Now, will it? Why in the world does the scripture say that we ought to be salt and light? If you're not willing to come in contact with the world, do good within the world, well, you're worthless. You're worthless. The salt then has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? The scripture says. That's our responsibility. We have to engage. We have no option in this case. But even individuals like Thomas Paine 230 years ago said, if there's going to be trouble, let it be in my day so that my child may know peace. Engage. You need to engage right now, today.
Absolutely. No time to sit and ponder, wonder what we should do. Greg, one other headline. Joe Biden violated the First Amendment during COVID-19 pandemic, according to the federal judge's ruling. Google, Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook, Twitter, and others were all named in the lawsuit. The U.S. district judge in preventing the White House officials from meeting with tech companies about social media censorship, arguing that such actions in the past were likely First Amendment violations, and goes on to name, it says, the Joe Biden's cabinet members and the White House press secretary and others are forbidden to contact any social media company in any effort to control what a person, a free American, can post online. Now, that's refreshing to me, and it is my prayer that Christians will stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, just as you just alluded to. It is my prayer that as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we'll recognize that our Bill of Rights is so valuable that without them, we will be simply another third world country run by the oligarchs, the dictators, the socialist Marxists controlling. We're on the very verge of that. So, Greg, in this 45 seconds we've got left, close this broadcast with a challenge again to our listeners.
Well, first off, stepping back into that, I believe that the best thing that can be done is for the sovereign immunity veil to be pierced and that some of these individuals be pursued personally for their violations of American civil rights. But we as believers, our responsibility is to be that salt and light. Our responsibility is to take that First Amendment that was fought so hard for and to use to use it to engage today. We can't blame somebody else because we kept our mouth shut. We can't blame somebody else because we did not share the truth. You need to go and share the truth today and not linger. You need to share the truth today and not ignore the rights, the liberties that were fought so hard for so that you could have those rights today, so that you could engage today, so you could be salt and light today. Go into it today while it still exists in America.
Yes. Just as Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Today, Greg and to our listeners, the righteous, the Christians, conservatives, we need to pray, seek God's face, and ask God to heal our land. Greg, thank you for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3.